People all over the world are celebrating a unique literary event today. It's the 100th anniversary of Bloomsday, the day on which James Joyce's novel Ulysses is set. Ulysses describes one day in the life of a Jewish advertising salesman named Leopold Bloom, his wife Molly, and Stephen Dedalus, a young would-be writer based on Joyce himself. Bloom spends the day wandering the streets and offices, pubs and brothels of 1904 Dublin. The difficulty of reading Ulysses is as legendary as the book itself. So NPR's Lynn Neary traveled to Dublin for some ideas on how to climb this literary Everest.
A few weeks back, Irish writer John Banville visited the Martello Tower, a squat stone building standing sentry over the Irish Sea. The tower is where James Joyce once briefly lived and where Ulysses begins.
Yes, I think a drinker like Joyce was taking his life in his hands by climbing these stairs.
Banville edged his way up the same narrow staircase that Joyce once climbed and that Joyce's fictional alter ego Stephen Dedalus also climbs in the opening pages of the book. Looking around the small, bare room which Dedalus shared with his friend Buck Mulligan, Banville remembered the way he felt about Ulysses when he first read it as a young man some 40 years ago.
It was an extraordinarily exciting experience. One was in touch with something that was outside ordinary life.
Dispensing with the traditional narrative form, Joyce, says Banville, set out to create something entirely new, word by word, sentence by sentence, chapter by chapter. It was, says Banville, a remarkable piece of fiction that ushered in a new era in literature.
And it still is an exemplary work, exemplary in its concentration, in its refusal to compromise, in its refusal to cozy up to an audience. Joyce said, hell with it, you know. My audience will do what I tell them. They'll take what I give them, or they'll leave it.
And many a reader has left Ulysses behind. A lot more have never even bothered trying to read the book. Making Joyce more accessible to the general public is the mission of the James Joyce Center in Dublin. Helen Monaghan is the center's director.
We're standing in the courtyard to the rear of the James Joyce Center, where we have the door to number 7 Eccles Street.
Number 7 Eccles Street is the address of Leopold and Molly Bloom. It was here that Bloom cooked a breakfast of fried kidneys. It was here that Molly had a late afternoon tryst with a lover. And it was here that Bloom and Stephen Dedalus ended a long day of wandering through the streets of Dublin. Monaghan cheerfully admits that she is among the legions who had a hard time reading Ulysses.
Have I read it from cover to cover in one go? No.
Monaghan's father founded the Joyce Center, and she is a grandniece of James Joyce, so she felt especially obligated to read the book.
You know, I'd get halfway through Stephen in the first three chapters and give up in irritation. I just wanted to slap him around the head and shoulders. He's such an irritating... But my father told me to skip Stephen and start on chapter 4 and go straight into Bloom. So I did that, and I got much further that time.
The way into Ulysses, says Monaghan, is by identifying with one of the characters. And for most people, that means Bloom.
Bloom is just such a human, interesting, complex character that I think everyone can relate to. The issues that he's dealing with, the stuff that's going on in his head, the earthiness of him. I think Bloom makes Ulysses readable.
Just a song at twilight, when the lights are low and the flickering shadows softly come and go.
Though upstairs at the Joyce Center, James Barry sings Love's Old Sweet Song. It is one of the songs that weaves its way through Bloom's day, a song that represents both his love for his wife Molly as well as her unfaithfulness. Music, says Barry, is one of the threads that holds Ulysses together. As intellectually challenging as the book may be, the songs Joyce uses in it, says Barry, are simple and sentimental.
He is using the songs that he grew up with, and I think they are from his heart, which sounds a little corny, but I think that's really significant, that they are songs that evoke for him all sorts of fond and sometimes painful, poignant memories.
It's not just in his choice of music that Joyce shows his common touch, but also in the way he captures the banter, the jokes, and the verbal barbs of the Dubliners Bloom encounters during the day, especially in the pubs. One of the many Dublin establishments that Leopold Bloom stops in during the course of the day is Davy Byrne's Pub, where he had a lunch of red wine and a cheese sandwich.
What type of cheese? Gorgonzola.
Sean Walsh is the director of the new film Bloom, which is based on Ulysses. 11 years ago, Walsh says he had a sudden insight about the book.
You know, Ulysses is regarded as the greatest novel of all time, yet nobody's read it. And it was this paradox that really just jumped at me. And because I'm involved in film and television, I just decided, well, let's get this hidden book and show it off in a film.
Walsh read and reread Ulysses and spent 8 years writing the script. While some scenes from the book have been cut altogether and others flash by in a moment, Walsh uses a lot of Molly Bloom's soliloquy at both the beginning and end of the film.
When you open up the last chapter and you rush into Molly Bloom's interconnecting, interweaving, interesting, intelligent, earthy mind, you're on this river of life, and there's nothing mad about it. This is just what people do and they're thinking. We just make these connections, because obviously it isn't just about one day as in Bloom's day. It's all about her past and her future and her feelings.
The sun shines for you, he said. The day we were lying among the rhododendrons on Hoth Head in the grey tweed suit and his straw hat. The day I got him to propose to me, yes. First I gave him the bit of seed cake out of my mouth, and it was leap year, like now, yes. 16 years ago. My God, after that long kiss I near lost my breath, yes.
On a spit of land where the River Liffey meets the Irish Sea, you can see Hoth Head, where Leopold Bloom proposed to Molly that day. You can see the Martello Tower, too, way on the other side of Dublin. Sitting on this spot, encircled by the city, author and journalist Nuala O'Fuaillean remembered when she first read Ulysses as a teenager. We used to look for the dirty bits, she said, and that would bring them to Molly's soliloquy, which ends the book. But, says O'Fuaillean, that's really not such a bad place to start.
If you do begin at Molly Bloom's soliloquy, you're beginning where Leopold really places his life. He is half of a thing called the Blooms to me.
Ulysses, says O'Fuaillean, is really a love story. Not a sentimental kind of love, but the story of a marriage. And you have to get to the end of the book to understand that.
Above all, it ends back at the beginning, when it was all before them and they believed, as human beings do go on believing and need to go on believing, that this time between each other they'll make each other perfect.
And so the secret to reading Ulysses is this. It's only when you've finished it that you begin to understand it, and then you realize you need to read it again to see what it was you missed the first time. It may be a hard read, says Nuala O'Fuaillean, but it's worth it.
We're bigger. We've got bigger minds and bigger hearts after we read it, and we're more grown up, because it's an enormously challenging book, and yet all it is about is ordinary human life that we all share.
Lynn Neary, NPR News.
You can see photos from Lynn Neary's tour of Dublin at our website, npr.org.